Jada,
yeah.
Question for you. If you had the financial means, would you retire today? Say you had 10 mil in the bank. You are good. Do you retire today or do you keep plugging?
I'm going to keep plugging, but I'm going to take almost as many days off as you do. You're staring me down.
No, I just wonder.
I would keep working.
Jesse?
I would keep working. We've said this before. I would keep working. Like we've said, I think when we won the lottery, we had this couple come up. I would work on my own terms. I would say, this is what I'm going to do, and if this isn't good, then I'll just do something else. That's fine. And that's what I would do.
Okay.
I would need something to keep me busy, but...
I got a couple of text messages over the break here, and both folks that texted me just said, it doesn't matter what you're doing or at what age, retirement is always a tough decision. And I thought, you know what? Everybody thinks because... football or athletes or actors or whatever it would be, they make a lot of money. It doesn't mean that it's easy. I mean, it's obviously easier to retire because you don't have to worry about the financial component as
sure.
much. But it's still that identification of what you
right.
do, because when you're out and about and it's, what are you doing? Oh, there is some value and self-worth that comes from that. Even though it's not healthy, it is part of life. And the value of doing something, that's the part that I think Aaron is struggling with, trying to figure out what he would be doing that could be as impactful as what he's doing now. And it's really hard to find a way to get to, I have plenty of things that I can do that will impact. Even though you think you do, I don't know if you do.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to speak about your financial situation or your weights or anything else private about you. But I would say this. I do this show, and I am lucky that my job of writing and talking about sports does not feel like work most days. I'm lucky that way. Like, mm-hmm. I have to pay the mortgage. I have to pay our car payment. Those are things, you know, ballet costs, gymnastics, all that stuff. But I don't do this just so I could get paid. Like, if you work at, say, I don't know, a pick a job that's not
Schwan's.
Very fun.
Well, Schwan's job would be
well,
fun.
Well, that seems like fun.
You get a lot of laughs.
I was
going to
say at the slaughterhouse where they take the cows that I drive by, maybe that's not quite as much fun. So maybe you look forward to retirement so you don't have to
do
that.
I
do
wonder
anymore.
How many people would just up and retire, though, and actually do it. Because let me tell you something. It's liberating and free for a little bit, and then it gets really old.
Yeah.
You can only play so much golf and shuffleboard and mahjong and all the other stuff that retired people do.
And then you decide to do Wildy and Tao. Should you get stuck with me? In the wise words of John Kerry, who only retired from the Mac Fund, did not retire from working on behalf of great causes. Work as long as you can if you are lucky enough to enjoy it.
That's a great point.
Words to live by. Let's get to Greg Matzik. He is live in Arizona. He's working. He's grinding like you grinded in Arizona during the WM Phoenix Open. Greg, good morning. How are things at spring training?
Please take this in the right context. It's cold. it's not Wisconsin cold.
Like quarter zip or jacket cold?
Yeah, I have worn jeans every day, and I've had a quarter zip on every day because it's been about 36 in the morning when I've woken up. It is up to 55 right now. I don't think it's going to get much warmer. And there is a lot of clouds moving in. So they actually moved up today's Brewery game. They moved it up by an hour because they fear that rain will be pouring in the afternoon. And I don't know, rain in Arizona, the desert, people don't really know what to do with it here. So everybody kind of freaks out. So they're trying to get a game in before the rain pours in.
All right. Well, thank you for your service, Greg. It's 60 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
I got it.
Yeah. So one of the questions I have, and it's obviously we've been inundated with the Rodgers stuff, and we are still going to keep talking Rodgers, but one of the things I saw over the weekend, and the clock, we don't do a great job with the clock on this show.
Hey.
We don't. We blow through that 15 seconds like you wouldn't believe. How has that been received? I love it. I think it brings urgency. It's going to shorten games by 20 to 25 minutes is what the analytics have shown. How are the Brewers that you've talked to about it, how are they responding both from a pitcher and a hitter standpoint?
So two different components, I think. Actually, I'd say three different components. Number one is a starting pitcher. They don't seem to have any issue with it. Relief pitchers, they might have a little more of an issue with it because you get to those points in a game, it's a one-run game. It's the eighth inning. You're trying to preserve the lead. There's a guy on first and second. You need to do everything you can to control that situation and try and find the best outcome for your team. So historically, relievers just take a little more time, especially high-leverage situations. So Devin Williams is actually going to start today. He is the Brewers' closer, but he's going to throw one inning as a starter today. He is the most methodical of all of the Brewers' pitchers, and they've actually worked with him in side sessions to try and speed up his process in getting to the mound and actually delivering a pitch. He is the one guy that I think you have to watch. Now, the other component is if you're on base, right? Now there's a limit in how many pickoff attempts you can have with that one guy on first base. So you're going to see stolen bases like mad. Maybe not the Vince Coleman era, if you want to go back to me, Wilde, and Tosh's age of watching baseball in the late 80s. But you're going to see a big uptick, I think, in stolen bases. So there's going to be more excitement, I think, built in the game. And yes, games will be faster. Yesterday's game at Maryville was 2 hours and 11 minutes, and it was 6-3.
That's fantastic.
First of all, when I think of stolen bases, I think of Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Secondly,
Vinny. Old Vinny, though, too, with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh. Sure. Yeah. And then I think of Willie Mays Hayes with his gloves that he has hanging on the wall in Major League. So, Greg, I don't know how long you've been in Arizona, but have you talked to a lot of the pitchers about this, and what kind of feedback have you gotten from them?
So, yeah, a couple of things I think are interesting. You know, Wade Miley is a quick worker, no issue. I brought it up, and he's like, yeah, fine with me, whatever, let's do it. Brandon Woodruff, no big issue. Same with Corbin Burns. I think the starters are fine. Today's going to be a little bit of an experiment, I think, with Devin Williams. We'll get to watch that. The other thing they're experimenting with, and they started this last year, so catchers had the ability to call signals without putting their fingers down, right? So they were worried about sign stealing and all that stuff. So there was like a little mechanism that a catcher could press to relay to the pitcher, here's what I want you to throw. Well, Zach Greinke on the mound the other day for the Royals, and Craig Counsell noticed this, he had his own little meter, so he was calling his own pitches. And the weird thing is that Greinke, it's kind of an odd bird, he was actually shaking his head. He was shaking off his own signal. It was very strange to watch him on the mound. He would call for a fastball, and then he'd shake himself off, and then he'd deliver his pitch. So there's experimentation going on in a variety of ways. Pitchers calling their own pitches, catchers calling the pitches for the pitcher using a little buzzer. You've got the pitch clock mechanism, which is right there. I mean, it is easy for every pitcher to see. And all the beeps and buzzers going off in the press box by the person controlling it. It's strange, man. It's different. It's unique. But I do think baseball is going to get what they want out of it.
So you mentioned that you talked to Corbin Burns, and he said it didn't bother him. Does it still bother him the way arbitration played out?
Corbin is not his usual kind of jovial, engaging self. I find him to be a very easy person to talk to, and I feel like he's bothered in my honest assessment. And Jason, you know this. Sometimes you try and get small talk going, and it might lead into a longer interview. Maybe you go into the clubhouse or locker room and say, hey, can I grab you in a couple of days and maybe just kind of shoot the bull for a little bit? Corbin seemed less interested in just sort of the chit-chatty conversation that I'm used to having with him. And I don't think it's just me. I've kind of noticed that throughout my few days here. Yes, I think he's bothered by the way he feels he's been treated by the organization. We didn't get into a deep discussion about it. We did talk about smoking on the grill and grilling tips. But even then, I felt like he was a little more guarded, a little more backed off than he usually is.
Maybe he's just protective of his secrets to a good brisket.
Well, that's a good point. I did try a brisket the other day with Jeff Lever. We had a good time together. It was about 18 hours of a cook, and man, it took a little babysitting. It's not easy.
Yeah, briskets, that's not easy. Can you smoke when there's snow coming on it? Because I wanted to smoke a brisket the other day when there was a snow day. And old girl's like, no, we can't do it because you don't want any snow moisture to be hitting the smoker as it's going. Is that what you've learned over your years of smoking a bunch of meat?
Well, are your walls insulated? If that's the case, then the snow hitting the drum.
No, we do it outside. We don't do it in the
garage. No, I get that, but okay. It's not. You've got a lid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it insulated? Like, do you feel
like
it's going
to hold its
temperature?
Yeah, but you got to baby it. You got to take it out. You got to, put it out.
Make it chewy.
You don't just leave it sit there for the whole time. Like you just said, you got to baby it. You don't just throw your baby in a crib and say, all right, great. You got to go feed it. You got to nurture it. You got to change it.
Wait, are we still talking about meat?
Yeah. You get my
drift. Odd turn.
Yeah, it did.
Whoa, Nelly!
Wildy, I was thinking about you because I don't know if you ever, I don't think you've ever covered a spring training. Am I accurate in saying that?
No, I've covered about four or five of them.
You have? Okay. Then you will appreciate this. I mean, this is the time. It's like Packers training camp. This is the time where you gather the stories. The best shape of your life stories are things that are going to happen. But there's a guy, Abraham Toro, who speaks four languages. Owen Miller grew up in Fredonia, and his lifelong dream is to hear Bob Uecker call his name in a home run call, and now he's playing infield and kind of a utility guy for the Brewers. Mike Brasso helped a couple with their young son traveling from Hudson, Wisconsin, with their baby gender reveal a few days ago. I put a story up on WTMJ.com about it. But the stories that come out of spring training, when guys are relaxed and just easy to talk to, it's different than when you get into the regular season. I know, Jason, it's something you really appreciate about training camp, but unlocking these stories, to find out that Devin Williams is suddenly a world traveler and spending a lot of his offseason in Europe, it's just fascinating to me. That's part of the fun, I think, in covering spring training.
Where's Devin's favorite spot? Where does he recommend going over in Europe?
Amsterdam?
So he seems to be a big fan of Italy. We did not get to Amsterdam, but now it's like he's got the itch. He wants to kind of go all over. But he was a big fan of a trip he took to Italy in the offseason.
My three most memorable spring training moments. Number three, Ben Sheets finding out that I covered the NFL and peppering me with fantasy football questions, which I don't think I was very helpful. Number two, Jeff Juden telling me to get the hell away from his locker when I was standing there for no... I wasn't even going to talk to Jeff Juden. He was a jerk.
What are you standing in front of his locker for?
I wasn't even standing in front of his locker. Like, I was 10 feet in front of where he would have been dressing. And number one, I spent a half hour after Robin Yount retired and was working as kind of this roving hitting instructor talking about his retirement and everything that we've been talking about transitioning to what comes next. It was one of my all-time getting to talk to my childhood hero and him talking to me like just one of the beat writers, even though I didn't cover the team every day like a lot of them did. He was awesome. That was great. Speaking of awesome, it's awesome that you went to Arizona and it's 55 degrees. I'm enjoying that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to revel in your chilliness, Greg, but enjoy your time there. Bring us back lots more good stories, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. I am currently, just to set the stage, 2 miles from Tempe Diablo Stadium. I did not have good service, so I drove. I'm currently doing this interview in a Jack-in-the-Box parking lot.
And in the words of Mark Tauscher, thank you for your service. That is Greg Matzik from WTMJ 620, our sister station. He is at Brewers Spring Training. Brewers, of course, flagship is 620 WTMJ. We will shift gears back. I'm sure Jesse has some non-Brewers items for his Whoa Nelly, which is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.